Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain, and that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
I can get on a plane at LAX and I'll be in San Francisco in 50 minutes. You know, why do we need high-speed rail? Why don't we do this? Why don't we invest that money in desalinization plants along the coast? Take that water, and anytime it's a bad year, desalinate the water, have some pipes going over the mountains out to the San Joaquin Valley for all our farmers, have it down here. We're in the Camarillo area. You look right over here. I drive through the farmyards every year. Why don't we just start to look at it? Wait a second. Maybe water is a bigger issue than trying to move a few people.
Believe it or not.
I feel like I don't know what the hell happened. That is actually a great idea. That is actually something we've talked about on the show for a long time. You mean to tell me that water might be more important to a drought-affected state that catches on fire a whole hell of a lot than high-speed rail? This is proof that he is not a progressive. It was Caitlyn Jenner talking to Sean Hannity last night. I watched that interview. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to another day. It's Thursday?
It is.
Yesterday felt like Thursday, and so I thought today was Friday. Yeah, we're not all the way there yet, but we've almost made it through. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Good to be with you. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse. A lot of stuff to discuss. I didn't mean to start out with that, but I am going to contrast it with the slap fight that's happening in Washington, D.C. right now over the Republican Party. And I feel like a lot of people are getting tricked. And I really do wish that there was some way that Republicans could sound as like hopeful and full of solutions right now. Like, I mean, Caitlyn Jenner totally sounds like that. I wrote a piece up about this last night. We talked about it yesterday, but I was impressed with the interview. I mean, it's California. No one's saying that just by admitting that Jenner would be a better governor than Newsom means that you totally are endorsing transgender everything. No one's saying that. But there are Marxists on the left that want you to believe that because they would love to Alinskyanize you. And there's some people on the right that go along with that. I'm like, why the hell do you people act like you're so hard standing up to the media when you take the bait every other day of the week? There's some conservatives like that. I have a conservative friend that was like, well, you realize that, you know, this is just like, you know, you're basically sanctioning. I'm like, it's not sanctioning anything. And furthermore, I haven't endorsed anything. I'm just simply saying, don't cut your nose off despite your face. So there's a number of things that we could go down with that, a number of variables we could use considering the situation. But the point is that it doesn't take much to be a better candidate than Gavin Newsom. It doesn't take much to be a better politician than some of the stuff that the Marxists want to throw at you out in California. It's just California. Now, I'm contrasting that. I decided to open up a can of worms on social, literally just for the argument, just for the argument. And I said, because there's this big, I am not wanting to get into the GOP slap fight. You don't give a rat's backside who's in charge of what conference and what's happening. And, oh, who's the hall monitor for the Republican Party? Who's going to be the, nobody cares. Only people who stand to benefit from it care. But the fact is that their slap fighting has reached level headline to where now it's actually, everyone keeps going, well, Cheney's hurting the party. I'm not even like endorsing Liz Cheney. I actually think that she's kind of a moderate, and I think she's a little bit too, you know, too leans to maybe perhaps war eagerly. But that being said, I hate the whole stupid slap fight. And I think a lot of you have the wool pulled over your eyes right now. So I did a lot of reading last night. So basically, the conference, they got to choose a chick. I know. Republicans who all sit here and go off on, oh, well, we can't have, let's not play into stereotypes. They are insisting that they have to choose a chick as conference chair. So take them with a grain of salt. I'm mad at the Republicans right now. I'm mad at them. I told you I hate everybody. You guys doubted me? People are like, why don't you like to go to D.C.? Because I hate everything. Why? But they have to choose a chick. And so, no offense to anyone here. I hate the fact that I have to pay that penance just to share an opinion. Because we live in such a stupid society that everyone takes everything so personally and they conflate issues with people. And so anytime you share an opinion that's driven by policy alone, it's almost like you got to apologize for it lest someone's offended. Don't ever let people who are in the GOP tell you that the cancel culture mentality is non-existent in their side because it's crap. This is how far this Marxist garbage has affected everything. I am sassy over it. Oh, I'm going to get some emails today. I double dog dare some of these politicians to send me a sassy email. I do read them. I tell all politicians in D.C., don't ever send me an email with the expectation that I'm not going to share it. So, yeah, and I have before. Because I just, these are employees. I'm not in this for, I don't care about your stupid cocktail party. Why don't you come to blow? No, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to be in Texas. If you want to have a discussion, hop thee on a plane and meet me at the range. So, they got to choose a chick, right? No offense to Elise Stefanik, but girlfriend's got a moderate record. And by moderate, I mean holy hell. We talked about a little bit of this yesterday. I'm working on a giant piece on this tonight, and I had to include a lot of information about her record. So I was going to send it out last night, but there was so much that I was running down and so many links to past votes and all that stuff. I ran out of time and I needed to eat dinner at 9:30, so I didn't finish it. That's how you know I do the newsletter. It was important for me to eat at some point last night. So I stopped. So it'll go out today. But the... like I said, I just don't, there's a difference between, because if this is going to be the litmus test, and I'm all about standing up for principles. I'm all about my natural rights. If you leave me alone, then we'll get along fine. The moment you start not leaving me alone is when you're going to go need to get some help because you're going to get beaten to into a hole in the ground. So there's a difference between being vocally or in rhetoric supportive of somebody and then supporting that person in action by vote. Now, Elise Stefanik was one of those. I don't know what measure people are using, and I asked about this. I said, with all the talk of waging war on the GOP conference, I'm curious what some Republicans have to say about backing potential replacements that have pretty moderate records, especially on immigration, border security, and climate. If the issue is that Cheney is antagonistic towards Trump, wouldn't a replacement on record voting, wouldn't a replacement on record voting repeatedly to oppose his policies be as well? What's the measure here? And I said, by the way, voting against border wall funding, voting for amnesty, voting for the Climate Action Now bill, which is following the Paris Accord, all of that is beyond moderate. Beyond moderate. And so that's the question. Somebody told me, they go, well, Stefanik represents an upstate New York district. She has to vote differently than someone from deep red Wyoming or Utah. And she helped with fundraising. That's what this comes down to. This comes down to, it has to be a chick and she's got to be able to fundraise. That's how your principles are being, that's how the your caucus chair, that's how that's being determined. First off, don't ever sit here and tell me that upstate New York is liberal. STFU. Don't ever, no, I'm not, and I'm not happy with some of these people today. That's why I'm wearing the hat I am. Don't ever tell me that upstate. If you're telling me upstate New York doesn't vote conservative, you've never met upstate New York. If you've never, if you're saying that upstate New York is a liberal area, you've never met upstate New York. You've never been to upstate New York. You've never met anyone from upstate New York. And you've never paid attention to how upstate New York votes. Don't BS a BSer. So I said, no offense, I don't buy explanations like this anymore. Because I don't. I don't buy that. Now, she seems nice. I follow her on Twitter. This ain't personal. Okay, I'm Vito Corleone saying, I'm not making it personal. This is business. This isn't personal. But don't sit here and act like somebody is a conservative Wunderkin when they're voting literally for progressive things against Trump and overriding Trump's veto on progressive issues. And that's a real thing. So all of this slap fighting, what's the point of it here? They want a better fundraiser, but they got to make it a chick. Liz Cheney is not helping herself because she's being over the top antagonistic. You don't attack your voting base. You don't insult your voting base. And if you can't disagree with your party or with other people in your party without making it seem like you're insulting the base, then you're not a good messenger. It's not personal. It's just business. The business of the Constitution and protecting people's rights. That's what this is about. So, I don't know what they're doing. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, but I'm really done. I'm done with it. I'm just done. The whole damn thing's aggravating me. Republicans are arguing with Republicans, and I'm just tired of it. And I really do feel like you're getting the wool pulled over your eyes. You don't know everything about Stefanik's record. You don't live in New York, do you? Well, now you got to make yourself aware of it, because if somebody's going to be a part of crafting messaging for the party, now it affects you, doesn't it? We'll get into that and more. Also, coming up, Twitter is going to make it more difficult for people to send mean tweets. I'm rolling my eyes so hard, they're about to fall out of my head. Can't even deal. So, a lot of stuff. We're also going to get into constitutional carry in Texas and every other country. It's important for every other country or every other state in the country. Pass the Senate. It's got to go back to the House for them to vote on the amendments the Senate made. And I'm hearing that there was a poison amendment put into this to kill the bill. And I'm going to tell you what, if this bill is killed because a poison amendment was put into it, whoever put it in there and whoever sanctioned it, I will follow you all the rest of your political days, raining down all manner of hell, fire, and brimstone. You will never be able to escape my criticism of you. I will haunt every campaign you undertake. That is, I will swear it to the sky. So know that. I will show up in your district on my own dime. I will fundraise against you. I will engage in oppo against you, whatever it takes, because now you're messing with me. I'm all right with you doing you, but when you mess with me, well, I don't abide that. So we got a lot of stuff coming. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways: by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
That's like the ultimate 90s, like Daria girl kind of anthem, right? Gosh, I love Shirley Manson. Y'all remember Kim Gardner, right? Mm-hmm. My hometown of St. Louis. Kim Gardner is facing professional misconduct probe. A professional misconduct probe. She could actually lose her law license, finally. Chief Disciplinary Counsel Alan Pratzel. That's a delicious last name. Outlined numerous instances of violation of Missouri's rules governing lawyers related to actually not just her involvement, because you had this situation with Eric Greitens, and yes, he screwed up and made himself vulnerable because he's reckless. But even with a compromised and corrupt prosecutor like Kim Gardner, this is the same woman, by the way, who was involved in the McCluskey case, right? So they're investigating her. We'll keep you updated because I think she should lose her law license. This is a woman who really, really abused her position. So first off, Oktoberfest was canceled in Germany again because everything sucks. Not that I was like going or anything, but I would like to at some point. So put your Heidi stuff up. The Bavarian governor, Markus Söder, said that it was with a heavy heart that they decided to call off the festival, for which the state is known globally. They said it will be held again and it will be big again, but they're in the middle of a lockdown and they have a ban on large gatherings. And so that's what they're dealing with. I barely remember this. Do you guys remember? Is anybody out there remembers the Noid with Domino's advertising? Did you remember that?
Avoid the Noid. I remember that.
Yeah, the Noid. I mean, there's not a lot that I... Well, anyway, so... They're apparently bringing this back as like an advertising shtick. This is something that... This is Washington Post reported on it. That Domino's Pizza is bringing back the Noid. And it was funny because apparently this thing once drove a dude to take hostages. That's literally their headline. They're like, Domino's is bringing back the Noid. A mascot that once drove a man to take hostages. Feels like that's okay, but the guy was working at Domino's. There was a dude who drove a white limousine as a getaway car, and he tried to hold up a Domino's, and he blamed it on the Noid. I don't even know what the Noid is. What was the Noid?
An enemy to pizza.
Okay, well, there, in addition to appearing in TV commercials, the Noid is also going to join Crash Bandicoot and a video game series. I also hate that character. These are two things that I hate that are going to be in a thing together. So, I mean, double the badness. U.S. Navy also said UFOs could be coming from an underwater base. What? I'll talk about that later.
Do you want the CIA choosing their personnel based on intersectionality or based on competence? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll discuss how the Russians and Chinese must be thrilled at how identity politics are becoming more important than protecting our nation. I'll also be joined by Tiffany Smiley, the amazing wife of a wounded warrior who changed the military and the VA and is now running for the U.S. Senate in Washington State. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Why he would do this, I know that in doing so, many more of our fellow Texans are going to die beyond the 44,000 who've already succumbed to COVID in the ill-prepared way that he met the pandemic and in the botched rollout of the vaccines. And it's disproportionately hit the communities that are already struggling, lowest income, communities of color. And we know that those on the front lines, including our healthcare workers, going to bear the brunt of the cost and consequence of this decision.
It's just annoying. He's Beto O'Rourke. Robert O'Rourke is annoying. He reminds me of, and first off, welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Everybody has that one friend who thinks their kid's super smart. And their kid's real nice and all, right? But it's like they invite them to join adult conversations. And you're just, actually, I don't have a friend like this because I wouldn't be friends with him. It's annoying. I'm very picky. But no, it's like the friend who invites their kid to join the adult conversations, and then the kid, it just says stupid stuff, and the parents are like, isn't that so great? And you're just looking at them like, seriously? This is annoying. Send them away. We're having an adult talk. It's what he sounds like. This dude's a clown. Every day he's got to put on the clown makeup. I just Well, it's a death warrant. It wasn't, though. In fact, cases decreased, particularly in my county. I got a whole tracker for it, everything. Ruining everything. I've been talking about vacation because I had to cancel the vacation that I had. I haven't left my house for anything non-business related in over a year. So I'm way overdue. And taking a few days off and staying at your house is not a vacation. I got to get away. I have to get away and leave. I mean, if I could leave the planet, I would. I just got to get some time. But I don't want to go anywhere where I have to. They're going to force me having to have any kind of a vaccine. I don't like. I'll do it myself. If I want to get something, I'll do it myself. I don't need the government to. I just don't like the mandate. The same thing with masks. I don't like the mandate. And then my husband's concerned if we go out of country, because the United States, if you test positive and you try to come back home, even to quarantine at home, they ain't going to let you in. You have to sneak across the border and act like you're immigrating illegally in order to get back in. Well, you didn't know that?
No, luckily, yeah. There's a Democratic administration.
I swear to you, I will do that. If we go overseas and I get it or something and I test positive, I'll just go to Mexico and sneak across the border. You laugh, but I seriously will. I know where to go. I know where it's shallow. I'll hop, skip, and jump right across.
It only takes a hop at some parts.
For real. I mean, I'm pretty sure that I could do that. Just, you know, like a long jump.
You've got some beach ball size lady nuts on you coming in all kamikaze like that.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure out like how this is gonna work. Because you need a vacation, right? You gotta be able to shut it down. Got to be able to shut it down a little bit. It's a requirement. Otherwise, you're going to go nuts and people will get slapped and then it's no fun for anybody. All right. So this, where did I wonder? Oh, the fight over whether or not vaccines are safe. Tucker had a segment last night. A lot of people were mad at him. There's some tweets going on that other people are sharing. Everybody I know is fighting about this. This is what I'm saying. Everybody that I know is fighting about this. Now, I think that it's a lot of people who are hesitant that are not against vaccines. I don't care if the banana's organic. I don't care if something has GM. I don't care. I ate Play-Doh when I was a kid. I don't care. Really don't. I've eaten M&Ms off the floor. I have a 5-minute rule.
A minute?
Yeah. Oh. My floors are clean. You know what I'm saying? And even when they're not, just wipe it off. Right? I'm not crazy. I just think other people are dirty. I don't think nature's dirty. I just think other people are. But I think it's really unfair to paint people who are hesitant because of horrible messaging from the government and also from a lot of these, from a lot of the bureaucrats that they're sending out there and others. I mean, it's understandable. So there was a discussion about the vaccine adverse events reporting system. How do you say this? Is it VAERS for short?
Yeah.
I guess so. Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. And it is a subsite of Health and Human Services. So what it is it relies on people to send in reports of the experiences that they've had related to vaccinations, right? And you have to do it within a specific time frame. Healthcare providers are told to report things to the VAERS, the vaccine alert, whatever system. It's a really long name. And you can fill it out online. You can do a writable PDF form. There's all kinds of ways to do it. So basically, anybody can submit anything into the system. Parents can, patients can, etc. And healthcare providers are, as I said, they're allowed, they do it as well. So if there's, the thing is though, is that I think it's the way that this information is collected and the way that it is determined to be of use. It doesn't seem like there's a very strict protocol on that, because an adverse event, as they're considering it, and I'm looking at their website, they don't really stipulate what's the time frame for something like this to happen to be considered related to a vaccine. And that seems like it's problematic, because then it becomes questionable as to whether or not the vaccine caused the adverse event or not, right? And the people who make the vaccines, any time there's there's any kind of adverse event that is either reported to them or is brought to their attention, they have to report it to the system. That's a federal law. And because everything is new, and I was looking, let me pull this up. It says on here, any new vaccine recommended by the CDC for routine administration to children, whether it's, and they have a bunch of other things listed, Anything that is like anything that's a new vaccine, regardless of what goes into creating it, if it's mRNA or whatever, they have to follow this protocol. This new protocol is established under the CDC. And so this system, any kind of complication, any kind of adverse effect, it is a repository of every single report. And it's not evaluated when it's put into this like catch-all system. They're not evaluated on this per case basis. It's just, okay, this is a report. We're going to put it in the system. Here's a report. We're putting it in the system. And that's problematic because if you are looking at this as a way to determine how many adverse effects are reported per vaccine, it looks like there's a lot, but they haven't been evaluated. You know what I mean? So that's kind of a problem. And I mean, and they talk about this on the website. It's vaers.hhs.gov. And it talks about how, and they say in their first paragraph, it said, when evaluating data from VAERS, it's important to note that any reported event, no cause and effect relationship has been established. Well, when you're reading media reports, you're not getting that. And I have to include even legacy progressive media, because I remember in the very beginning of Operation Warp Speed, and when these vaccines were announced, this was before Trump even left office, there were several articles that I had included in the newsletter that talked about this system. And you had entities like, I know one of them was MSNBC, and I was trying to think of another was separate in NBC. But they were citing this as a way, as like some kind of resource in this narrative of Trump's irresponsibility in rushing a vaccine. Because you do remember that was the narrative right when these started to be administered. And that was problematic. And that planted a seed of doubt. And it doesn't matter if someone is a conservative or a progressive. When you hear anyone in government that might have knowledge of something like this that might extend past what you know yourself, that does plant a seed of doubt in your mind. So these are things that are not entirely evaluated. And when you have a brand new vaccine that is administered across the nation in a never before type of thing, so many people all getting vaccinated, you know, obviously in waves, but, you know, really within the same, you know, several months span, you're going to have a lot of reports to the system. And because if only we had an entity like Legacy Media that it would explain this to people, but they don't. They don't want to explain it to you because they like the fact that there are people who are hesitant about vaccines because they don't know everything. And Legacy Media is not at all interested in reporting on this because they like to have those people hesitant because it helps to drive a political narrative for them. That's what this is. They like the fact that people are hesitant about it. They like to be able to run news stories slamming them while simultaneously withholding any responsible reporting about how to evaluate these things. So any kind of fatality, it's sort of how they would do it with coronavirus. Like if you got bitten by a shark and you bled to death, oh my gosh, he also had coronavirus. Death is because of coronavirus. That's kind of how they calculate whether or not a fatality. If you had a vaccine and then later say you get hit by a car, well, he did have the vaccine. Put him in the VAERS system. I mean, so I think that the fatalities, because there's always fatalities that are associated with anything like this. They are rare. That they are rare doesn't make it less sad, but it is rare. And when there's a minuscule complication point, I like science, but I'm not going to be rushed into injecting myself with something that I don't exactly understand as a way to signal virtue, a false virtue. And I think it's really unfair. And I see some conservatives doing it too. I think there are a lot of people that are jockeying for attention in this oversaturated media environment. And one of the ways that they feel like they can do that is to be contrarian and pass judgment on fellow conservatives as though, well, I'm more advanced than they are because I'm more capable of critical thinking. When in fact, they just look like douchebags that are passing these people aren't helping to do anything to educate others about the situation of things and how to evaluate information that's reported all catch-all like in these systems. But they are passing judgment on people who don't have the time to sit on their ass and look at the computer all day and evaluate this stuff like these people do. That's what frustrates me about this. It's really becoming pervasive amongst the right, and it's bothering me, clearly. So that's just so you know about the VAERS system. And again, it comes up to you whether or not you want to do it. I've known people who have had horrible side effects from getting this. I've known people who didn't have any. But it is not anyone's right to shame you over your decision as to how you want to handle your health. Nobody's. It's your body, your choice, right? Isn't that the prevailing mantra? We have more to come, but I really wanted to discuss that. Whether or not there's always a risk of some sort of negative impact with vaccines, but I think you have to weigh. And this is a personal choice you have with this particular thing because it's brand new. You have to weigh what is going to be better. Do the negative impacts of getting the virus, does that outweigh the negative impact of that go with maybe getting the vaccine? You have to weigh it out. And that's a choice that only you can make. And people who are truly constitutionally limited government supporters understand that. And instead of shaming you for it, they'll just make sure that you have the information necessary to make the decision. And that's, by the way, the measure as to whether or not someone's truly limited government, and use that and apply that to them. We have a lot more to come, including the latest with Twitter. Twitter banned the Twitter account that was not created by Trump or his people. That was for his website from the desk of Donald J. Trump. Does that make sense? Like, he didn't create it. It was just that someone did, and so they banned it because it had to do with them. We'll talk about that, I know, and more when we come back, because we got a lot of other stuff to touch on.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
I'm busy playing air guitar right now. Leave me alone. I just want to jam to Van Halen. No, I got to hear him say Panama. It's not official.
This is the part.
Until, here it goes. Part. It's coming. Okay, now it's official.
There you go.
You gotta wait for it to bust out into the...
People listening on the podcast can't hear.
No,
the
people on the podcast are like, what the hell's wrong with this? Listening to Panama by Van Halen.
Might be having a seizure.
It cost $1 trillion to get the license to put this on the internet. And we're a Wayne's World type of shop here. So, you know, I mean...
Excellent.
I'm saying... Woo! I mean, honestly, Van Halen with David Lee Roth... It's one of the most American things I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it really is. I mean, and God love you, Steve, for getting here's Mr. Panama. Oh my gosh, I love it. I kind of want to go there. Like, wait, okay, question. Is he talking about Panama, Florida, or Panama, Panama, Panama?
I think like, Panama, Panama, Panama.
Okay, because I'm like, this also would apply to Florida's gem, Panama, Panama City. Which I liked. I like Panama City. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. I like Florida. This is one of the places we're looking at for vacation. Let me lighten it up a little bit because we got to talk about some other heavy meat and tater stuff coming up here. But, you know, it is my dream in life. I'm just saying, if you're in the Keys this summer and you see a motorized tiki hut, I'm just saying, I'm going to warn you now. If you're in the Keys and you see a motorized tiki hut and some crazy woman swigging rum and singing sea shanties, I'm not saying it's me, but it's me. So
I'm going to ruin your day here and tell you that.
I was looking at places in Key West. Why?
Because Panama is not about Panama. It's about a car.
It's about a car?
I'll accept that also.
Yeah, that's fine.
That works. That makes sense when he gets to the slow talking part.
I like the music just the same.
Yeah, that makes sense. That, you know, the slow talking part that you always didn't want to be in the car listening to when, with your parents, right. That part. You know what part I'm talking about. That makes sense. But I was looking at a place, I have an obsession with chickens, and I was looking at a place, when we were looking at the Keys, I didn't know chickens just ran around. Can you, like, go up and get them? I mean, not the roosters. I don't want to be pecked to death, but I'm just saying, like, I just want to put pants on them. That's all, because they're hysterical. We got a lot more to talk about, folks. What's happening in the GOP, Rona, tech, and more. Stick with us.
I totally agree. It's just a stupid idea. Again, no common sense in Sacramento. Gavin Newsom, no common sense to release prisoners into the community and then say they're going to defund the police. I support the police 100%. I support the National Guard. I support our business owners in Los Angeles and around the country, and would do everything I can to protect them.
Wow. That's Caitlyn Jenner sounding more Republican than a lot of Republicans. Dang. I watched that last night. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Good to be with you. Let's all gossip together, okay? We'll get through this week. Just come sit by me. None of us have anything nice to say. danalash.com. Sign up for that newsletter, chapter and verse. I got a big piece, a big piece about the GOP slap fight coming out tonight. And chapter and verse is a newsletter. $6 a month. It's like less than a thing of coffee at Starbucks per month, and you get I do a lot of work, and it's all my own work. I would have sent this newsletter out last night, but I had so much stuff that to do because we're doing an extra hour of content for the first for TV, so we're getting a lot of stuff figured out, and I'm looking over things, and so I finished at like 9:30. It's when I stopped because I needed to eat. So it is me just doing the newsletter. It's not anybody else. I'm not outsourcing it. You're talking right to me, and I won't sell your information like a Marxist. Which is also ironic, right? They would do that, but yet they're Marxists. So I watched this last night. I don't know why. I think, honestly, I wanted to see if, like, Hannity was going to use, like, a pronoun that, you know, made Caitlyn Jenner mad or whatever like this. Like, as I said in the newsletter, I don't have a problem at all whatsoever calling somebody by their name. And there's no reason for me to be mean to people for the sake of being mean. I'll be mean if you're mean. But, I mean, I don't like that stuff. But I also don't like being told how to speak. And, you know, I put it in my newsletter last night because that was a fantastic ad. That was one of the best ads I've seen in 10 years from a Republican. And, I don't know, well, some of the Trump ones were really good, too. But you know why it was good? Because Caitlyn Jenner's using Trump's digital people for that ad. And I think I was watching to measure the level, I don't know, measure the level of wokeness. I was watching just to kind of see whether or not this was, is this moving the needle for the Republican Party in some way? And I said that, I wrote in the newsletter, I said, as a free woman and fan of science, I have no problem with respectfully calling people by whatever name they choose. And not out of maliciousness. But I am just not going to accommodate being disrespected and by any patriarchal demand or anti-woman prejudice that insists on regulating my free speech and forcing me to purposefully misidentify my own female gender or that threatens to bully me for noncompliance. I just don't do that. If we're going to have a discussion about respect and civility, then it goes both ways. Like I said, I have no problem being, you know, calling people by whatever name they want, but I will not be disrespected and have people tell me how I can speak about my own gender. So there it is. And that's not out of maliciousness. It's because I draw a line in the sand and I'm not going to erase myself. So with that, I think part of it, I was wanting to see if that came up, and it did very briefly, and he didn't care. He's like, you did use the phrase misgender. He goes, my own mother misgenders me. And I don't know if he was, I don't think that, I got the impression, and I'm a pretty good judge. Actually, I'm a really good judge of character. Like, I can, not to be like maliciously judgmental, but I can size somebody up the second I meet them. And I've never been wrong. I have never been wrong. And I didn't get the impression that he said that word to be woke. I think he was just using the phrase, because they were in California. I think he was just using the phrase that everybody used as a way to be like, oh, whatever. Like, he didn't care. And the bigger thing is that in the ad that he had, he's got all kinds of footage of himself as Bruce Jenner, winning gold medal after gold medal after gold medal after gold medal. He's not hiding or denying what he is or who he was. He's just like, this is who I am now. He's just doing his thing. He's living for himself, and he's not forcing other people to adopt his perceptions, which is a walking contradiction, isn't it? Because that's, we are so conditioned by, honestly, it is really, it's very much a progressive prison where you, everybody has to be stereotyped and has to be segregated according to appearance and political ideology or any kind of ideology. He's not hostile. He's not malicious to Christians. He's not hostile or malicious to people who, you know, don't go along with the pronoun thing. And I think he's been a Republican for a while, as I said. But he had, he showcased Bruce Jenner's Olympic victories. He didn't deny who he was. But that's kind of like what happens when you have a big tent, right? And I don't, I read an article this morning where it said the Republican Party is at a crossroads. No, it's not. I really wish that all the Republicans could sound like what this ad sounded like, though. So right now, we have this huge slap fight. I talked about this yesterday, but I really think that this is important, and I can't get away from it. And I asked the question on Twitter, because the Republican Party, they're having a fight over Liz Cheney. I don't have a dog in this fight. I think it's stupid. And the Republican Party is infuriating me right now, because here, for the first time, when you look at polling from around the country, Biden's scaring the hell out of the country with his tax and spend plan. He's spending $6 trillion this first 100 days. The border's a disaster. And at the border, by the way, they're acting as though, oh, no, we don't have a crisis here anymore. They just moved them to a different location. They moved people who were entering to a different location, and they won't allow the media in there, but they put the media in the place that they emptied out. And they lied. It's all propaganda. You have the situation with schools and masks and everything else and rioting and law and order and all of this. I mean, all the conditions are there for the Republican Party to have a massive victory and retake the House in 2022. I mean, I've got all kinds of surveys, and there's a lot of discussion about this. There's a lot. I mean, it looks really good for the Republican Party, right? Except the Republican Party loves to get in their own way. I just don't understand. I don't understand this. They love getting in their own way. And here, when you have the gun control, and did I tell you Democrats are trying to get Breyer to resign? Feinstein floated this trial balloon where it sounded like she was kind of defending Breyer not resigning, but then I kind of wonder. It was trending on Twitter. Breyer was trending on Twitter. They want him to resign because they want to be able to put I think that they realize they can't entirely pack the court. They don't have the numbers in the Senate to do it. But if they get Breyer to resign, then they can nominate somebody there, right? And I think they want to get that done before midterms. So they're already gathering research on candidates. They're doing all this. And in the meantime, you got this fight in the Republican Party. What I don't understand is, what is the measure? What is the measure? Because I don't understand the move in replacing, I mean, dislike Cheney all you want to. Apparently she's a bad fundraiser. I think it's dumb that messaging is for the Republican Party is going to be determined by who's the best fundraiser. But if you're replacing Cheney with someone, wouldn't it be with someone who is more reflective of the policies of the past 4 years? Wouldn't it be someone who has a record of voting that is more in line with the Republican base? Wouldn't you think so? Does it make sense if the reason to oust Cheney is that she's antagonistic towards Trump and the Republican base, then why would the replacement be someone with even more of a moderate record who is only supportive in rhetoric but not vote? What is the bigger threat? I think that's a legitimate question. I'm going to link all of this information for you in the newsletter. That's why you need to sign. Why you need to sign up for the and I'm just curious. Like, for instance, H.R. 1603. This was a bill about amnesty. Elise Stefanik is the one that everyone's talking about replacing Liz Cheney. Trump has apparently endorsed her. I don't understand. I don't understand why. No offense to her, but she's voted against his stuff more than Cheney has. And I'm not defending Cheney. I don't care. But what I do care about is I feel like you all are being hosed. I'm not making any friends by doing this segment. I just don't care about making friends. But I do feel like y'all are being hosed. She's raised a lot of money. Yeah, Kane sent me the... she's raised what? In quarter one? She's got actually about three on hand for re-election. And she's raised a lot of money just in first quarter for the party. That's what it comes down to. So, but she voted for amnesty, H.R. 1603. She voted against the bill, H.R. 6, that was going to basically not create more Dreamers, right? She co-sponsored a pathway to permanent status for Dreamers in the 115th Congress. She was a co-sponsor of the USA Act. Numbers USA, which is like if immigration is your number one issue, you're familiar with Numbers USA. It's a very conservative, strictly constitutional. They support legal immigration. They just don't like illegal entry. It's a great organization. She has the worst rating of all the Republicans in Congress. A C minus. She voted against Trump's tax cuts in 2017. Did you all know that? She voted. Let me count. I actually got to look at my notes. Give me a second. She voted. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 6 times. Every time it came up, any kind of appropriations, anything to exclude funding for a border wall. She only voted with Trump about 77% of the time, one of the lowest ratings of Republicans in the House. Heritage, which likes how conservative Trump is and Trump was and liked his plans. It's kind of an old blue kind of GOP, blue blood GOP organization. I like Heritage. Very conservative. They gave her a score of 36%. Club for Growth. Huge Trump. This was an organization that Trump actually championed and is a very economically, just strictly constitutional organization. They gave her a score of 35%. How do you vote against tax cuts? That's my question. That immediately, I got three issues that are just will not even come to the table with you over. Guns, life tax. That's it. Will not even meet you at the table. And on two of those three issues, couldn't meet her over the table on. So I'm curious, what makes her, and I want to ask these Republicans, I want to ask Steve Scalise this. What makes her, because I feel like something else is going on here. What makes her better than Cheney? Is it because Cheney Cheney's antagonistic, don't get me wrong. I'm not defending her. I'm just trying to figure out, you have a candidate whose rhetoric is antagonistic and is harmful to the base and is divisive and is getting all these media headlines and it's making the whole fight that Republicans are having over it is ridiculous. Then you have another candidate whose record is basically the rhetoric of the other candidate. But their public rhetoric is championing the base and championing the former president, but their voting record is anything but. So why are conservative Republicans getting behind that person? You can't tell me that there are no better other choices. You need to sign up for the newsletter. You get this evening. We have a lot more to discuss. I mean, I could sit here. I've got a lot more votes to discuss with you on that. I mean, that's how deep I have it. I mean, I've looked at this quite a bit. And I'm scratching my head. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I have to remember I'm doing a radio show, not here to play air guitar, but some days are difficult. There's a little, oh my gosh, I've been waiting to tell you this story. I've never been more excited about a headline in my entire life. Okay, are you guys ready for this? This happened at Kid Rock's bar in Nashville. So here's how the story starts. A man was arrested for wielding a colostomy bag at Kid Rock's Nashville bar over the weekend. Police were called to Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse on Saturday night because there was a man in the establishment. NBC affiliate News 4 Nashville said that Nicholas Newhart was inebriated, blocking the emergency exit, and he started swinging his colostomy bag around. Two officers were hit with feces.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
Well, I think there's a lot of good to a wedding, like people starting off their lives together and doing it in a safe way and not doing it in a way that puts themselves or their guests in danger. And let me be clear, on May 1st, we were proud of our residents and businesses who made conditions in D.C. such that we can start opening up these facilities. An alternate headline may be, host a wedding in Washington, D.C.
You might even be able to dance. I feel like there needs to be organized dance mobs in D.C. now. I would so do it. I would do it in a second. Oh, my gosh. Steve says his roommate. I need to hear this. Steve, tell me what you just put in Slack.
Oh, well, you ever played? If you ever played Mario Party, there's a King Bowser in one of the maps. Yeah. And so we started calling her King Bowser. So every time we had to stand up, go to the bathroom, we're like, King Bowser has to let us go to the bathroom.
Oh my gosh. If you put it in Slack and it's good, it could come out and say, welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Whew. Yeah, it's, why not just like have organized dance mobs? I totally would. Right? Like a Peanuts gang.
Did we ever talk about moshing?
Oh, no, we didn't. Okay, so that's a question. Yeah. I'm glad you said that. So if I were getting married in D.C. and they had the no dancing thing, first off, I would not even abide by it, but I would make fun of it. And on wedding invitations, there's no dancing, only moshing. We're going to mosh at the wedding.
That's not dancing.
It's not dancing. It's totally different. She didn't say anything about moshing. Crowd surfing. Nothing was said. Not at all.
Where this D.C. mayor is trying to create footloose, moshing would be like toothloose.
Right.
Right.
What about speed movement? I'm not dancing. It's a speed movement. Music happens to be playing. I could argue that. I'd argue that in court. I would totally do it. Yeah. Just to do it.
I think the judge would toss it right out.
Yeah. It's speed movement. You got to prove that I came here with a design to dance and that this is dancing. I could just be moving speedily. While a song happens to play.
Solid legal defense.
And then I think also too, they said no standing around. You could just hover, right?
You can't dance and you can't stand.
Yeah, it said you can't stand around at like cocktail areas and that.
Smokes.
Don't stand so.
Can you sit?
Yeah, you just have to float.
Oh.
With your little feet above the floor.
You got some work to do.
Like your toes hanging down. That's how you would do it. It just, I feel like there's like a divided thing on appear. So are people really divided about that Jenner interview? I'm fascinated by that. Really?
What was so controversial?
Some people are saying, this is a hard pass. I just think that the GOP needs to sound hopeful like that. It's California, for the love. Who do they got in California to run? Who do they have?
They sound like TERFs.
They sound like TERFs. No, these are actual like Republicans. I feel like people need to realize that making an alliance with people does not mean that you are adopting literally everything that person's doing. I don't understand the mindset that some folks have. I think, you know, it's not you're not adopting the people's flaws. It's not that way. It's not that way. I mean, it's I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, the whole hive mind thing, the left doesn't even have a big tent anymore. They've drummed out even pro-life Democrats. They remember when they announced that they won't even fundraise for them. The classical liberalism in the vein of Tocqueville, whose piece Democracy in America, apparently they don't teach in college anymore. That's really what modern conservatism is modeled after. And it doesn't demand a forfeiture of principle on any issue to advance policy on a separate, unrelated issue. I mean, saying that Caitlyn Jenner would be a better politician than Gavin Newsom isn't immediately going to make you, you know, you're not going to switch sexes. It's not going to. I'm all about winning and advancing the ball down the field, so to speak. There's no way to say that. This is no way. I work with horrible people. People are just awful. Y'all need Jesus. That's what you guys need. Can we play birthing people?
Sure.
I feel like I wanted to play some like Ziggy Marley tomorrow people, but birthing people instead. This is Corey Bush from St. Louis. Listen to this soundbite.
Like, everyday black women are subjected to harsh and racist treatment during pregnancy and childbirth. Everyday black women die because the system denies our humanity. It denies us patient care. I sit before you today as a single mom, as a nurse, as an activist, and as a congresswoman, and I am committed to doing the absolute most to protect black mothers, to protect black babies, to protect black birthing people and to save
birthing
lives.
People the hell is birthing people?
She said mothers already.
Yeah protect birthing people. Women?
Does she mean the doctors?
Women?
Does she mean the doctors delivering the babies?
Birthing people.
I don't know,
like people who have births. I don't.
She's talking about doulas.
Birthing people.
I don't know.
I'm so confused. I mean, it's okay. If only there was a word that you could say that meant that. Not a man that has a babies. What is that word?
I feel like there is one, though.
I feel like there is as well. I'm just, you know, very interested in that. So, a few things. We're going to have coming up next hour, we're going to talk with the guys over at the Babylon Bee. They're going to be joining us regularly. We'll talk about that here coming up. So Twitter banned Trump. He came out with a blog. It's a blog. It's from the desk of Donald J. Trump. So he came out with that, and then someone who is not associated with him or his campaign created an account, and then that account got banned. And then Twitter also announced, let me pull this up, and then I'm going to get into some SJW stuff. They are going to make people think twice before sending mean tweets. Huh? Twitter announced Wednesday that it's launching a new prompt for tweets that are mean or hurtful. This is... It's going to introduce a prompt, and the prompt will say, pause and reconsider. It'll ask users to pause and reconsider a potentially harmful or offensive reply before they hit send. So it'll say, want to review this before tweeting? Really? Hmm. They want to have more meaningful conversations on Twitter. It's kind of hard because you ban everything. And they took like another couple thousand of my followers just like while I was on air yesterday. I took screenshots. Like I just like over almost 3,000 of my followers just disappeared while I was on air yesterday. Isn't that something? Mm-mm-mm. So I don't think that's going to help. That's not going to help at all.
I don't trust AI to understand sarcasm.
It's not AI. It's them.
Well,
I don't believe that.
They operate like they're AI, like they're Borg. But I don't understand. I don't think they get sarcasm. Like today, sarcasm is looked at as harmful. And
sarcasm is amazing.
I think there's going to be a lot of unnecessarily scooped up accounts and content because of this stuff.
Yeah, well, there already is, I think. I think there already is. So I have to also share this with you in talking about how ridiculous everything is becoming. And we'll get into this. There's a zoo that canceled a pro-police event. We'll talk about that. They said there's a newly discovered ant that becomes the first species to be given a non-binary scientific name. The Independent reports that the ant species is not non-binary, but researchers chose a non-binary name to be inclusive.
That's real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a beautiful new ant species. It's given a gender-neutral name.
When you say ant, do they mean like opposite of uncle?
So the name is, it's an ant that they found in Ecuador. It's called Stromogenes Ayers they, and the they suffix is recognition of non-binary. We've made it. That's what people, is that what non-binary? We made it. We had an ant species that used the pronoun they.
A newly discovered ant, though.
The miniature trap jaw ant is from the evergreen tropical forests of Ecuador, and it's been given the unconventional Latin name, Stromogenes Ayers they. Non-binary is the term used to describe people who do not identify as masculine or feminine. Looks like a damn ant. Okay. And the ant, they took pains to say that the ant itself is not non-binary. It is... It's the name that is. And then they used Ayers they, paying tribute to a Georgia-based activist. It's an ant. Right. Somewhere aliens are going, now they're trying to even be gender neutral with the names that they're giving to new species like ants. What does this do? I just think it's silly. Do what you're going to do, but we get to make fun of it because it's ridiculous. This is too... the nth degree here. I mean, it really is. They said, and then the doctor researcher, Dr. Booher, literally, B-O-O-H-E-R, said there wasn't anything about the species' physical characteristics that earned it the non-binary name. It just embodies the spirit of diversity. Does this ant know this?
Does science know this?
Yeah, they, wow. Okay. There you go. Well, you get, where's my aunt? I want an aunt named after me. I don't know. I just think, I don't understand. Okay, go ahead, do it. I mean, infrastructure and stuff. Answer, infrastructure. Okay, well, I guess and then a New Orleans zoo canceled a pro-police event because it might be divisive. Really? Mm-hmm. It was called Blue at the Zoo. Blue at the Zoo. It's not happening anymore. Audubon Zoo's planned event It was going to encourage positive relations between the police department and the citizenry. And we cannot have that. We cannot encourage positive relations. The six-day promotion was going to grant 20% off zoo and aquarium concessions and gifts for patrons who wore law enforcement's iconic color. But some woke scolds got the mads and they spoke out. And so the zoo said, no, we can't do it. They released a statement saying, the nonprofit New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation and the Audubon Zoo, our Nature Institute, partnered to host Blue at the Zoo in an effort to promote and foster positive interactive experiences with our New Orleans Police Department. Audubon facilities have long been welcoming and safe places for the children, families, and citizens of our community. We heard feedback regarding the event from members of the community and from persons outside of the community who feel this event could be unintentionally divisive rather than inclusive. And though that was never the intent, the Audubon Nature Institute made the decision to cancel the event. Instead of going, screw off, we're having it, they decided to, because heaven forbid we have anything that normalizes relations or encourages discussion or fosters any kind of reconciliation. Somebody might lose the grift. Can't have that. We have a lot more to come you don't want to miss as we get moving on. A lot of stuff happening. We'll have the Babylon Bee guys on coming up.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, in the Villages, there was a woman who did not get it her way. She is a 77-year-old villager. Sounds like a Minecraft story. She was arrested in an alleged racial tirade after throwing her Whopper sandwich at a Burger King employee. Judith Ann Black, of the village of Pine Ridge, was apparently enraged over the thickness of the tomato served in her Whopper on a Friday evening at the Burger... See? That's what happens. The Friday evening at Burger King... She confronted the employee at the counter and was yelling at her. They tried to convince her to calm down and said she could not help her if she did not stop yelling. The woman threw the Whopper at the employee, hitting her in the back. She was screaming. She reportedly used a slur, said the report. A worker at Burger King and an independent customer all separately verified the employee's account of what happened. Video surveillance footage also corroborated all their statements, and another employee captured her license plate when she left the parking lot. They tracked her down. She admitted that she confronted the employee over the thickness of the tomato on her Whopper. She said she was angry, and wow, she said that the employee was a stupid black bee. That was the direct quote. Good heavens. Now, here's what, because she said that, it enhanced the charge of battery from a misdemeanor to a first degree felony. What? That I think is dumb.
Any good lawyer would get that.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. Really? I mean, all for the love. Anyway, she posted $2,500 bond and she's out. Like, how do you get that mad over a tomato? You know, like, how does that get you that mad? I don't understand that. She did not get it her way.
No,
I'm just saying. Just saying. So, this is kind of crazy. KIRO reports, this is in Dunedin, Florida, a federal decision. This was a back and forth court case. A Florida man piled up $30,000 in code violations for letting his grass get too high. And he's going to have to pay, said one judge on Monday. The 71-year-old sued the city after the city was going to foreclose on his home because of this stuff, which I think is stupid.
Yeah.
That is stupid. You never own your own property ever. You never own your own property. There's no reality in which you own your own property. He racked up $30,000 in fines, and they apparently, like, his mower broke. You know what? You know what the way to do this is? Help him out instead of fine him. How about that? Stick with us. We got more in store.
The president here is continuing to go out and push the big lie about the election.
continuing, I think, to endanger our democracy by doing that. And so he continues to make the case that he would violate the policies if they readmitted him. And I think, frankly, pathologically, he's incapable of changing. So this is a temporary ban. It will likely be, if we're fortunate, a permanent ban.
So that's Adam Schiff, who is talking about the how the Facebook Oversight Board yesterday had upheld this ban for Trump to be on Facebook. And then with that, today it came out that Twitter suspended the account that someone had made that was for the blog that he started from the desk of Donald J. Trump. They deleted that, too. And here Schiff is talking about censorship. That's what censorship. That's what this is. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse. We got the Babylon Bee guys who are going to be joining us after headlines, because we've got some fun stuff we're going to start doing on Fridays. And the tech stuff, they've experienced this as well. They've gone through this too. I'm just like, why in the world is that? Why are they so terrified of this dude? It doesn't make any sense. Now, I talked about this yesterday, and there are a lot of people who apparently don't understand nuance purposefully. I felt like yesterday the stupidest people were online. And there is a huge difference in acknowledging the hypocrisy of a position and then also calling for policy on it, right? Huge, huge difference. Huge difference. I had said yesterday, I said that it was very much, you got to bake the cake, right? Because somebody said Facebook is a business. You know, you're that Fox Education's not doing you any favors, whatever that means. And I said, well, you got to bake the cake, Dems to rules, right? Isn't that what y'all say? All the people on the left? And there were people who they think that observation on hypocrisy is the same as demanding policy. Because the same people who are demanding that small businesses bake the cake, these are also the exact same people who demand that there be an exception for one business but not another. That's what this is. They said that Facebook's denial of service, no, they can do what they want. How is this any different from bakeries? How is this any different from the bakery situation? You're for exceptions for small businesses only if they make choices that align with yours. That is an inconsistency. It's hypocrisy. It's about control. That's all it is. It's totally about control. And we've talked about Section 230. I've talked about that on the show a million times. And the idea that, you know, like I've said, I don't support the repeal of it, but I do support the modification of the publisher phrase, because I think that if you're editing algorithms, it's like what I think it's in my notes, it's subsection C1. And any providers who edit content that include algorithms or who are manipulating the service function to present content in a certain way, they should be defined as publishers. That's all I'm asking. I don't want 230 to be repealed, because it very much is a news source. It's a publisher. Just because they don't have the traditional masthead doesn't mean that they're any less of a publisher. So I think that the question that we talked about yesterday, it comes down to, and seeing this in a different way, is it, I mean, obviously, when people have the discussion of tyranny and censorship, et cetera, you immediately think of the government doing it. But when you have the government that are employing agents of business agents to carry out things that they would not be able to do normally without being caught up in accusations of censorship, is that any less tyrannical? Because you had Democrats yesterday who were tweeting to keep him shut down. Like, the official Democrat Party had tweeted it. I retweeted them. That is the ruling political party calling for censorship. That's a tenet of fascism. There are a lot of people who don't know what that means either. It is terrifying. Terrifying, terrifying, terrifying. How dumb people can be. Yeah, that is a tenet of fascism. People are saying, no, it's not. It's not at all. They can do what they want. But bakers can't. And by the way, remember it was that Supreme Court case with Jack Phillips and the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, and they determined that Phillips was being unfairly and impermissibly targeted, was the word, by very biased government officials that were abusing their authority to target him specifically for his beliefs. And it absolutely did have to do with commandeering someone's labor and free expression, because you have the right of free association and you have the right to determine how you are going to, especially when your expression is the service, then that gets into a free speech issue, and no one can commandeer your mouth and vocal cords and your hands and your brain. No one can commandeer and force you into indentured servitude, no matter what protections that they claim. And particularly when there are equally purchased, there are products that you can purchase as well, but it wasn't about people wanting to purchase a product. It was about people wanting to commandeer his expression and force him to bend a knee by stating something that he didn't believe. That's what that was about. So, yeah, I just, this is where tech is going. This is where tech is going. And in the meantime, Republicans are slap fighting about who's going to control the caucus. I don't know who's going to do it. What are we going to have? So, Governor Whitmer's going to receive the Courage Award. What? Wait, didn't Andrew Cuomo get an Emmy?
He did.
So now she's getting the Courage Award?
That's what Democrats
do. For COVID courage?
That's what they do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's receiving an award for COVID courage at the JFK Library Foundation. Oh, they said, in the face of backlash and threats, Governor Whitmer invoked emergency powers to contain the spread of the virus, issuing early controversial orders to close schools and businesses, mandate mask wearing, and ban large gatherings, and to keep other measures to keep people safe. They're honoring this, although it actually didn't control the spread, because the virus is actually still running rampant in Michigan. And where they didn't have those restrictions, it's actually not. Yeah, we are awarding oppression, Kane. You are correct. You are correct on that. Yes. Yes. Now, for some cancel culture stuff, number one. Plants are bad.
What?
Mm-hmm. There's a piece called The Dark Side of Our Houseplant Obsession. Wait, what? Uh-huh. The horticultural equivalent of fast fashion. There's an environment-wrecking problem with houseplants you may not know about. This is a thing. Now plants are bad. I hate everything. They said that there are 111.5 million houseplant photos on Instagram. You counted that? And they go, it's peat. Peat is a finite resource. It does regenerate, but it only forms at a rate of 1 millimeter annually. And they said that they have to have peat grow trendy plants. Oh, my gosh. And then there's someone who sells peat-free plants by mail. Or who? I don't care. Yeah. And then, apparently, white progressives are, they don't know if they should watch sitcoms that feature black characters. This was a huge discussion that was on Twitter the other day. One white progressive, and it's more than just like one rando, they had like this huge conversation, and I was reading everybody's replies thinking, where did we, this is why aliens don't visit. One white progressive said, I'm watching the Boondocks for the first time and I have feelings. I understand the viewer is supposed to laugh at some of the characters, but I must say it feels gross as an exceedingly melanin deficient person to laugh at black characters.
What?
Yeah, it's making me think. And then, so what? Like what about? So like you can't even watch Dave Chappelle's stuff. Is that what the thing is? Could there be a wider take?
Right. I grew up laughing at a bunch of black actors.
Why are you so racist?
I didn't realize. that I was.
Are we not allowed to appreciate Richard Pryor?
Right. I mean, even
Eddie Murphy.
Mike, Martin Lawrence, the Wayans brothers. I mean, come on.
I mean, I have things that I'm just curious. Doesn't that sound also racist?
Yes.
That's what I thought too. But progressives can't be racist, right? Because they have white race, they have white progressive privilege. Yeah. I also need to come back to this story. This is from New York Post yesterday, and I only had this as a headline, and I was thinking about this. So Bill Gates, it came out that he had a secret love nest. It wasn't a secret love nest. His wife allowed him to go on, for whatever reason, long weekends with his ex-girlfriend, and they would fish and do all kinds of stuff at her cottage in South Carolina or North Carolina, her beach cottage. And he would say, we would play golf while discussing biotechnology. I got some questions. So you're a trillionaire. And you go to this cottage and this is how you do on your, I mean, I don't know if it was a side thing, but it's kind of hard to believe that it wasn't, you know, right? And his wife apparently knew about it. He would go for the whole week and they'd stay in the same house, just the two of them. They were both married apparently. And they would just, you know, and they'd have long walks on the beach and they'd do stuff that married couples would do, right? Like go out to dinner and do all, I mean, it's just weird. But it's like, also, if you're a billionaire, you're the worst sugar daddy ever. Really? The worst sugar daddy ever. I was thinking about this. I'm like, there's just so much. I just think that there's so many other things that you could like do.
It makes me believe he was trying to keep it on the DL.
Well, not the wife knew about it.
Yeah, but publicly.
But still, he's going about this wrong.
Or he's just a simplistic man at heart with a bunch of
billions. Is he though? Really? He's the simplistic man. Have you seen his mansion?
I don't know him
personally. On the lake up there in Seattle? It's a 66,000 square foot lakeside mansion. And when visitors arrive, they're given pins that customize the room's light and temperature to their personal preferences. You're telling me that this guy's a simple man that likes the simple things in life?
Sounds like something.
He's a cheap sugar daddy is what he is.
Something, you know, a billionaire would do simply.
He's a cheap sugar daddy. Really?
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Well, a weightlifter is set to become the first openly transgender athlete to compete at the Olympics. A weightlifter from New Zealand is set to become the first one. This is from Reuters. 43-year-old Laurel Hubbard is eligible to compete in the Olympics. And the IOC set the new guidelines for transgender athletes. He qualified for this summer's coronavirus-delayed summer games in Tokyo. And he hasn't yet been named to the New Zealand women's weightlifting team, but his spot is basically guaranteed. You think? U.S. weightlifting spokesman Kevin Farley told Reuters that the group has no issue with Hubbard competing despite efforts in multiple states, blah, 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 blah. Who wants to go ahead and assume that he'll take gold? I will.
I'll take any bets otherwise.
Kane is all about making bets on this. So he's like, yeah, I'll go ahead. I'll. True. The Australian government was accused of racism over threats to imprison travelers from India for 5 years. And the Biden administration, remember, they're putting a moratorium on travel from to and from India, which I was reliably informed by Democrats that this is racist. Right? Muslim ban, right. Although India would be Hindu ban, I guess, but... the Australian government, now they're being accused of racism because they said if you're trying to sneak back and forth to India because they're having their outbreak, because they have a moratorium. Apparently, there was like a 400,000 cases in a single Sunday. Not every one of those means it's serious or even asymptomatic, but, you know, we need the media drama. And they said that people who've been in the past 14 days, they're going to be banned from entering Australia. I guess they have to go quarantine somewhere. I don't know. But, and they'll arrest them if they try to, you know, force their way or sneak back in somehow. Biden was Wayne posting the Los Angeles mayor, Eric Garcetti, to India. But apparently he, like back in November or December, he already said no to this. But yet they keep. And Pandora, they're going to lab-grown diamonds in an ESG push. They're not going to use mined diamonds that involve rock blasting, blah, 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 ecosystems exploiting human workers, blah, 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 blah. I mean, really, okay, and I think people are snotty over diamonds, honestly. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's a lowbrow thing for me to say, but I think it's kind of, you know, like if it's created man-made or in the earth, I mean, really, is there, the Babylon Bee joins us next.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
The president's view is that the major platforms have a responsibility related to the health and safety of all Americans to stop amplifying untrustworthy content, disinformation and misinformation, especially related to COVID-19, vaccinations and elections. And we've seen that over the past several months.
Like now they're very dedicated to it. I mean, it, not back then. That didn't count in 2016. Now they've developed this concern for misinformation. But in 2016, it didn't count. That was Jen Psaki, who everyone in that room is just dutifully taking notes, like, oh, yes, misinformation, so correct, filing their little hot takes. And the rest of us are just, it's just such a joke. It's a Victorian freak show. That's what it's like. It really is. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. So on Fridays, we're going to start doing something fun because everything has been so ridiculous and it's not even depressing anymore. It's just you feel like you're the only sane person. I feel like I was accidentally put into an insane asylum whenever I watch the news and I hear almost anyone in politics talk. And it's not honestly just limited to Democrats. There's some Republicans where I'm like, why are you doing this now? Like, out of all the times to have this fight, why now? It just, and because I can't go and get my motorized tiki hut and pretend to be a pirate and sing sea shanties down in the Keys just yet, the next best thing is to have the guys from the Babylon Bee to join us every Friday, but not today on Thursday. It's going to start next week.
Wednesdays, not Fridays.
Or Wednesdays. That's good. Thank you for correcting me. I don't know what day it is. Where are we? I'm an alien. I don't know. But Kyle Mann and Ethan Nicole, who are the editor-in-chief and the creative director of the Babylon Bee, respectively, they join us. And you can tell it because there's the Bee logo right behind them. And they are kings, apparently, of misinformation, as we are warned. We've been warned by them, by the internet overlords, and they join us. Gentlemen, it's good to see you. Thank you for joining our Wayne's World show.
Yes, thanks for having us on, Garth. Yeah. Wayne and Garth.
I've never been placed to a motorized tiki hut before.
It's a dream of mine. But I would be a really bad pirate because I get seasick, so I need to stay in the shallow area. So just only around where I can touch. That's where I could pirate. And then everywhere else would be kind of off limits because I'd just vomit immediately. So I want to talk to you about the story that you guys got. You guys got in trouble for another story. And I don't know who is in the cubicle reading this stuff and going, someone's going to think this is real. I need to put a warning on this immediately. Right. So let me tell people, if they didn't see this story, if you haven't gone to the Babylon Bee, then what is wrong with your life? But the story had to do, because of everybody having to wear 6 feet of face masks at all times, humans evolving their own individual organic face coverings at birth. And they immediately, Kyle had tweeted out the screenshot of this. It said that it was misinformation and that this goes against our community standards and this misinformation could cause physical harm. And it had like the whole tag over it and everything, like, you know, danger, danger. So someone thinks that you all are real and this is happening. Tell me about this, because how are we here? How are we here alive, breathing now? I mean, this is why aliens lock their doors when they fly by Earth. What does this make you guys feel like when you see this stuff on your work?
it's an honor and a privilege. To be flagged as misinformation, it's wonderful. It just means that we're flying over the target, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what fascinates me about it is that I believe it's probably like an algorithm that gets it first, or somebody who's just mad and flags it. But it was like reviewed, right?
Yeah.
And then they put their foot down and said, no, this is going to, someone's going to, and I'm just trying to figure out what is the damage that's going to be done to somebody by following this article?
If they believe that
they'll wear a mask forever, isn't that what they want?
Face masks?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it feels like.
Are they worried that they're going to pull like their bottom lip up over their face or something? Like, I was just trying to think of all the ways that this could be harmful.
I love that visual.
Yeah, I mean, it's and this isn't the first time that this has happened to you guys either, because this seems like it's a weekly occurrence. And for those who are watching, we're joined by Kyle Mann, he's on the left, and Ethan Nicole, he's on the right, the editor-in-chief and creative director, respectively, of the Babylon Bee. And how many times has this happened to you guys? This is like the fifth or sixth time? I think it's more than that.
Well, makes a good baker's dozen, I think. Yeah,
regular occurrence.
Yeah, with Facebook, they've deleted 5 or 6 posts of ours over the last year or so. With Twitter, it comes up occasionally. We get it on Instagram a lot. We're constantly getting things deleted, and you know, a lot of it is because the algorithm can't detect satire. Computers aren't very good at detecting sarcasm. But then, yeah, like Ethan said, the weird part is that we'll request a review. It'll go up the flagpole at Facebook or these other sites. And someone will look at it and go, yep, that's dangerous. And dangerous. Yeah, they will rubber stamp it. So that a few years ago, we had the CNN purchases industrial sized washing machine to spin the news. That got flagged and got us demonetized. We had Senator Hirono demands Amy Coney Barrett be weighed against a duck to see if she's a witch.
These got full Snopes fact checks, too. Had their best agents on the case.
Speaking of agents, I love the story that you had other day. And I actually keep checking back up on it on Facebook because I'm like, they're going to take this down. After the CIA came out with their woke video, which was really creepy. You had the story, and I'm butchering this, I'm sure. I'm just from memory. You had the story, the CIA is going to go after ISIS for pronoun usage or something to that effect. And I'm just like waiting for that to get taken down.
Yeah. CIA uncovered the ISIS plot to use the wrong pronouns. And it's a very deadly terrorist plot. So
we're all living in fear. But isn't that it? Everybody is so sensitive that... I know nuance is dead, but what does that spell for satire? Because you guys, obviously, you traffic in satire, very dangerous thing nowadays. I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Because people are afraid to even be there, even just to be funny or lighthearted anymore, because everyone purposefully takes things seriously. They want to assume the worst of somebody as, I guess, some kind of substitute for coming up with, you know, a thought that is more indicative of the human species, someone who's a rational thinker. And so people can't be that stupid. They just, I hope to believe that they're just that mean to assume everything is that literal.
I think part of the essence of making a joke is you're saying a thing everybody's thinking, but they either don't know how to put it or they're afraid to say it. And the way things are right now, joking is dangerous unless you're joking in the right direction. And so that's the thing, I think, that they can't handle it if you're saying the thing. That there's a lot of things right now that people feel like you're not supposed to say. And I feel like it's good that people feel like they can't say it. And so, you know, being willing to take that stance, it makes it both. I mean, we make the jokes because we love to laugh, but also like you do kind of have to go, I don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future, but we're just going to keep doing it.
Yeah. For sure. And to that, it's I think sometimes humor allows you, and satire particularly, one of the reasons why I think it's so valuable is just like what you were saying with all of this everybody is so incredibly sensitive that you can't even honestly, genuinely, in good faith share an opinion because someone's going to attack you. But satire allows people to kind of say the stuff that really does need to be said and needs to be explored. But you have that plausible deniability of humor with that, and now that's even being taken away. Everything just is boring. I mean, even comedies nowadays just are awful.
Well, that's the thing too, like you make a joke that makes a point against the left, it's kind of like that moment on Matilda when the kid's eating the chocolate cake and everybody starts cheering for him. Like, you're not supposed to be laughing and cheering right now, you know.
Yeah, no, like, I get it. Kyle, let me ask you this. We're talking with Kyle and Ethan of Babylon Bee. Kyle, let me ask you this. When you're working these topics, I mean, do you guys ever stop and think, oh, we're so going to get banned for this, or this one's going to get the account suspended? Or is that kind of the thought for everything you put out?
I mean, we're ready for it. Like, yeah. We're absolutely ready for it. And I mean, it would only be good for us on some level.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's inevitable that at some point we're breaking away from the mainstream social platforms. It's just an inevitability for us at this point. But yeah, we definitely have those conversations, and we'll run it up the flagpole and say, is this a joke that's worth getting banned from Twitter for? Because it might happen. You know, and usually we'll say, yeah, it's worth it. And we haven't been completely permanently banned yet. So at least we have that going for
us. And you guys have had some. Go ahead, Ethan.
That's true. That's just so funny. It's just always so funny ones they pick. It's so random.
Yeah, it's hard to predict, because the ones that we get worried about, that we're concerned will get banned for, they're fine.
Yeah.
And then we do a joke about Hirono getting weighed against a duck.
And then that's
and we get in trouble
one.
For it.
What do you actually had a little bit of a victory here against New York Times, because they had to correct, and pulling this up, they had this piece that they ran about you guys, where they were citing you. They said satire kept popping up as a blind spot. In 2019 and 2020, Facebook often dealt with far-right misinformation sites that use satire claims to protect their presence on the platform. And they said, you, particularly you right-leaning site, traffic in misinformation under the guise of satire. I guess you have to explain satire now to the New York Times.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And even their correction didn't really correct the issue. They just kind of moved it to a little side note. That's a huge concern, because that's the kind of thing, like, where Wikipedia will call us fake news, and you'll have their editors discussing whether or not we should be labeled as satire or fake news. And they'll cite the New York Times in their discussions and say, hey, see, this reputable newspaper, the New York Times, says they're fake news. So they are. So once that gets out there in the conversation, then that's what you social media sites and such can use to ban you.
Yeah. I feel like we are at a kind of an idiocracy point in human history when Snopes regularly fact checks you guys. And I see this, it's a regular occurrence at this point. I know USA Today, I've definitely seen all the Snopes stuff. I haven't seen the USA Today stuff, but I don't doubt it at all. But I have like all these things where Snopes went after you and were fact checking, like, not entirely true, which is like their way of saying, well, it's true, but we don't like it. I really feel like words are getting redefined. Even veins of reporting and the way that people are reporting are being redefined, and the boundaries are being redrawn. What are your guys' thoughts as to the, and this might be like a heavier question, I mean, I wanted to keep it fun and lighthearted and, you know, and maybe make fun of, you know, how apparently Bill Gates is a horrible sugar daddy, because that cottage was awful. I just had to say that because I can't get over it. It was really bad. Yep. I mean, it was like really the walls. It just looked like somebody put up plywood. And then he's got like this crazy mansion on a lake somewhere in, you know, in Seattle. That's where it's just all weird. Anyway, but I mean, is news dead? I mean, is regular reporting now just like people just observing things and kind of the citizen journalism? Is that kind of where we are? And I really feel like I trust you guys more than I trust NBC. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of a broader discussion about how information gets out there now. I mean, with social media, that's what we've been struggling with is, you know, back in the day, if you had a satirical newspaper, everybody knew it was satire because it was on a newspaper that someone subscribed to because they wanted to read, you know, the physical copy of The Onion or the old Wittenberg Door or whatever. And nowadays, information gets out there and you can't tell if it's satire, if it's fake news, if it's real news, you know, so-called real news or whatever. So it's something that our culture is really struggling with as information just gets passed around, and people still haven't really grappled with the concept that just because something gets published on the internet that, you know, that doesn't mean that it's true necessarily. Yeah. So it's a real problem for our society, I think, the way that people process information. And I think social media is largely to blame for the way that we passively consume content on, you know, algorithm-driven platforms like Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I think legacy media is like flailing. They don't know what to do the way that media is changing, the way information is changing. They're not the authority now, so they don't know what to do.
Yeah, they're
and even
out.
Comedy's changing too, like how mainstream entertainment's getting out there.
Yeah.
So I mean, it probably freaks the Onion out that we're getting bigger numbers of them constantly right now, and it's insane.
And that goes into my next question. We're talking to Kyle and Ethan with Babylon B. Last question for you guys. And you brought and Ethan, you brought it right up to the point I was going. I remember when The Onion used to be funny. This was years ago. They stopped being funny. The left used to be the people who pushed the envelope, and they were funny, and they were the ones who were really good at saying the things that everybody thought, but they didn't say. And it takes a level of courage, and I think comfort in knowing that, knowing what truth is and what truth is not, and understanding logic, where I feel like they've sort of lost that grasp. At what point did the left stop being funny? Because even when they try now, it's just they're making a political statement, and people think that's humor. But it's not. They can't laugh at themselves. They can't, really laugh at anybody else. It's just seriousness that masquerades as humor, and it's not. When did they lose that? When did that happen?
Yeah, I'll preface by saying that I still think The Onion is pretty funny sometimes, and I'm not going to attack them.
I think they're horrible.
I love The Onion.
But, I'll let the people decide. Just listen to what Dana said.
Yeah.
But I personally want to attack anybody. But, I think once you become really religiously zealous about your views, then you can no longer laugh at yourself. And that's kind of what us, conservative Christians were 50, 60 years ago. We were the people who couldn't laugh at a joke. Mm-hmm. And that made us a great target for satire and comedy, and rightly so. And now when you have the left that believes things, these far left ideas, and they believe them with religious fervor, all of a sudden all these topics become really, really ripe for comedy, because they're things that aren't supposed to be joked about, and that just makes it a great target.
Yeah, that's true.
And all of our inspirations are left leaning comedians. They created us. We didn't learn all this from right wing comedians.
Yeah,
you taught us everything we know.
Yeah, pass the torch. Yeah, I guess.
You created a monster. So you guys are kind of like Frankenstein's monster. You really are.
Alive.
You made me.
You made me who I am. I learned it by watching you.
Exactly.
Well, folks, you have to check it out. The Babylon Bee, Kyle Mann and Ethan Nicole, really appreciate what you guys do. And I think it's nice to have a place to go to that's current and talks about current events. But it's also, you have to be a happy warrior. You got to laugh at some of this stuff because it's so funny and ridiculous. And you guys really aid in that. So thank you for being a bright spot in our day. And you guys we're going to be doing this weekly, every Wednesday.
Monthly.
You guys just almost had a stroke, didn't you? You're like, what? What? We didn't agree to a week?
That's not what Kane said.
What happened here? Yeah. No, at monthly. You guys are going to be joining us monthly on Wednesdays. And we're going to have some fun. So I'm looking forward to that.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Forward to that. Of course. Kyle and Ethan, thank you guys so much. That's The Babylon Bee. Find them on Twitter, just at The Babylon Bee, and you can go to babylonbee.com. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. All right, folks, as we get moving on here, and we're finished. I can't believe we've already gone through 3 hours of programming. It seems like, way quick. Yeah. All right. So we got Dane's stupidity to wrap up with. Stay here. More of The Dana Show after this.
It's The Dana Show.
This is the official baseball song. We have less than a minute, so I talked too long. I went too long. It was worth it. Today's stupidity, Kay.
All right, this is our media, ladies and gentlemen, asking permission if they can be allowed to do things from D.C.'s mayor. Listen to Allison Camerota.
Hear you, but Mayor, just is there any way that you would reconsider with masks on and say a card that shows fully vaccinated that you'd allow dancing?
Allow? Would you allow? What
would
is our
you allow
media?
The dancing?
How spineless is our media?
Oh,
that
my gosh.
Like, Mayor, would you allow it if we're vaccinated and wearing masks and stuff?
Yeah, would it? Oh, for the
it's
love.
It's stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. And that does it for us today, folks. DanaLash.com. Subscribe to that newsletter chapter and verse because I have a big piece that's coming out tonight that you're going to need to look at. And then tomorrow, oh my gosh, we're gonna wind down that week together, everybody. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.